Okay, great. My role is just going to be to give kind of a quick six-slide overview of what's happening in the federal real estate market. I'm going to try to do this in Cliff Notes style, so we'll have ample time for Q&A. First slide, just for the uninitiated, the U.S. government in this country is clearly the largest occupier of buildings. The federal government occupies 2.8 billion square feet of space in the United States. And relatively speaking, not much of that space is actually leased space. It's roughly 342 million feet, but it's 42,000 locations across the United States. And so, you know, what's different about the federal government is that it's all types of space. So you've got, you know, of course you have lots of administrative offices to be sure, but you also have leased park ranger stations, data centers, laboratories, archival record facilities, and so forth. So it's a wide variety of space. In fact, half the dots on that map are U.S. Postal Service locations, right? We're all familiar with that. The thing that's, you know, since we're all here in Washington, D.C., I think the thing that we should point out is that this is the headquarters town, right? So 15% of the square footage occupied by the federal government is here in Washington, D.C., in this metro area. If you sort of take that size threshold up and you say, well, I want to look at bigger leases, bigger deals, so I'm interested in leases that are 75,000 feet or 100,000 feet or larger, well, now half those locations are here in the Washington, D.C. market. And I make that observation because for those of you who are investors, and I know there's some in the audience, if you want to invest in bigger deals, you're going to have to invest here in Washington, D.C. if you're working with the federal government. This is an inventory trends slide. This is now just the GSA inventory. I should point out that there's a number of federal agencies that can lease space, but GSA is the most dominant one, the General Services Administration. You look at the trend of lease space over the last half century, you've seen this really consistent, sort of inexorable growth to that peak that Ron described at almost 200 million feet at the end of 2012. But the important part of the story is that, so the growth has been interesting to all of us, including investors. But what I think is notable now is that bit of decline that you're seeing at the back end of this trend. So from that peak at the end of 2012 to today, there's been about 11 million square foot reduction in space and downsizing. And Allison touched on this a little bit. And we'll talk about it a little bit more. But the primary reason for the downsizing is policy. There are edicts within the government that require agencies now to downsize. But if you want to know what the real reason is for the downsizing, it's cost reduction. So here's a slide of the trend of debt held by the public relative to GDP over time, including a 30-year forecast. And now this is a nonpartisan forecast. This is from the Congressional Budget Office, not from me or anyone else. And you can see that, you can sort of see the apparent problem, right? That debt, for a variety of sort of stubborn demographic factors, debt is forecasted to continue to increase into the future, such that within 15 years, the federal debt will exceed the entire size of the economy. Now, 15 years is... that's the term of a typical GSA lease. It's not really that far in the future. And so it's putting a squeeze on the discretionary budget. You know, in this effort to reduce deficit spending and try to control the debt, it's squeezing the discretionary budget, and that's where rent's paid. So as much rent as we pay, and Allison pointed out, it's like 5.6 billion feet, it's still a small amount. It's like 1/8 of 1% of total federal spending, but there's still a lot of scrutiny on that number towards cost reduction. And I would say, just briefly, you know, that the government's really not getting smaller by any other metric, or by any of the typical metrics, I should say. The spending has continued to increase, even on an inflation-adjusted basis. And federal employment, you know, we hear all this about reducing federal employment, but it's worth mentioning that federal civilian employment today, not including Postal Service, is 2.2 million people. 50 years ago, federal employment, not including the Postal Service, was roughly 2.2 million people. It hasn't really changed over the course of a half century, and I don't think it's really going to. So how's the government getting smaller? The way the government's getting smaller is through workplace reconfiguration. It's through this embrace, really. Some of it's just getting rid of sort of traditional offices and going to workstations and so forth, but really the significant reduction is occurring through this embrace of mobile work. The government is moving much more to a teleworking environment. And if you look at these photos closely, you're not seeing workstations. What you're seeing are sort of workbenching environments. These are office environments in the federal inventory where people can come in and work for an hour or work for a day, but generally they're not working in the office each week. They're doing this workplace reconfiguration. And this is where, as brokers on the street, we're seeing, you know, 25-30% space reductions in an effort to ultimately to reduce costs. So workplace reconfiguration, it requires planning, it takes budgeting, it in many cases requires some difficult cultural changes, and all of that takes time. And that's what's contributed, is one factor that's contributed to this pileup of lease expirations in the federal inventory. So this slide shows from the beginning of this year, 20 years in the future, the square footage expiring in the GSA inventory each year. And Allison mentioned it briefly. I don't know if anybody caught this, but in the next 2 years, 1/4 of all GSA leases expire. In the next 5 years, 1/2 or more than 1/2, really, of all GSA leases expire. So the good news for brokers, though believe me, that doesn't mean there's 100 million feet that are going to be of new deals that are going to hit the market in the next 5 years. But the good news for brokers is there's a potential for a lot of federal leasing activity on a go-forward basis. And the other good news for brokers is that those deals, because the government, in order to do the reconfiguration, they're going to need to access private sector capital from landlords to pay for these space reconfigurations, and that's going to lead to longer-term deals, which is a trend we've already, begun to see. Last slide, and this is my slide that I just put up here just to explain why it is that investors invest in this space. So the bottom line is 10-year treasuries, regarded generally as the safest investment on the planet right now today. The top line is cap rates for federally leased properties with it 10 years or more of remaining term. Both of those contracts are essentially signed in the name of the United States of America. It's the same credit, but the properties, generally speaking, are yielding about a 400 basis point spread to treasuries. So that's what's exciting. This is an older graph. I did this actually last fall. So at the point when those figures were starting to pinch together, that's why we created the graph. But now if you've been following treasuries, you know they've kind of come back down. But I observed that this is the real reason. It's the credit that people are interested in the federal space and firms like Easterly. So with that, I just say, you know, you wouldn't expect it because it's the government world, but it's actually a dynamic, pretty fast-moving niche, and there's a lot going on. And with that, I'll yield back to the senior senator from California.